From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Tuesday, November 24, 2015. I'm Philip Grant. At the top of the news, Assemblymember Pete Lopez formally announced his bid for Congress on Monday, November the 23rd. In a press release received by WGXC Monday night, Lopez declared his intention to seek the endorsement of the Republican and Conservative parties in his pursuit of the 19th Congressional District seat in 2016. That spot is currently held by Kinderhook Republican Chris Gibson. Gibson has already said he will not seek re-election. Lopez wrote in his statement, and I quote, "If there is one thing the voters are saying this year, it is that we need to aggressively challenge the status quo. My message is that we need someone who is grounded in the community to represent the hardworking people back home and not let Washington insiders and power brokers decide who will represent you by buying the seat," end quote. In laying out his qualifications, Lopez touted his reputation as a, quote, hardworking, everyday person, end quote, and with a, quote, grassroots engagement and hands-on style, end quote. He cited his record addressing flood recovery issues, job creation, support of family farms, and his unflinching opposition to the Common Core standards and to New York's gun control legislation, the SAFE Act. One-time gubernatorial candidate John Faso and Dutchess County businessman Andrew Haney have also declared their interest in the seat. On the Democratic side, newly elected Ulster County Executive Mike Hine is being urged by party officials to run. Deborah Gilbert is reporting in the Columbia paper that the Hudson Family Literacy Program is facing a funding crisis. The locally developed program helps children, adolescents, and adults develop language and other skills needed to get by. Many of the participants are immigrants. It is one of six similar programs statewide. Hudson Family Literacy was created by Columbia Opportunities in partnership with the Hudson City School District. Funding was provided through state awards, including two community service block grants. Those grants are no longer available to rural regional communities, according to Tina Sharp, Columbia Opportunities Executive Director. Sharp said, and I quote, "The New York office of the New Americans says the number of foreign-born citizens is not high enough here because of the small size of our community. Given the current demographics, no one group stands out as being in great need when compared to the rest of the country," end quote. Sharp said, in fact, there is a greater demand in the area than the agency is able to supply. Lila Walling, a member of the Bengali community and a participant in the family literacy program for 15 years, said it would be a terrible loss if the program were to be closed. If the program ends, local residents in need of support with immigration or citizenship issues will have to travel to Albany. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. Scott Waldman is reporting at Politico New York that under a new proposal, the state will require utilities to purchase more of their power from carbon-free sources within the next 15 years. The state's energy goals released in June require the energy grid to be powered by at least 50% renewables and that carbon levels be reduced by 40% by the year 2030. Under the plan, utilities will be allowed to use nuclear energy to supply carbon-free power as the renewable industry is in development over the next 15 years. At least two of the state's four nuclear reactors are financially struggling and may close in the next few years. The administration plan has the potential to extend the life of both plants by more than a decade, an administration official said on Monday, November the 23rd. The plan is scheduled to be publicly released during Governor Andrew Cuomo's State of the State address in January. The Public Service Commission will take up the proposal in January as well. The New York plan to require utilities to purchase renewable energy is modeled on a California policy just recently signed into law. Cuomo administration officials leaked the proposal to the New York Times over the weekend. You can read that full story at Politico New York. Jim Plank is reporting in the Greene County News that incumbent New Baltimore Highway Superintendent Dennis Jordan will keep his job. Jordan, a Democrat, defeated his Republican challenger, Alan Van Wormer, by one vote. The outcome was determined last week after the Greene County Board of Elections resumed its canvass of ballots cast on Election Day, November the 3rd. Like the other county boards of election in the 3rd Judicial District of the State Supreme Court, counting in Greene County was stalled when the Supreme Court candidate Norman Massery filed a post-election objection. The counting resumed after the lawsuit was withdrawn on Wednesday, November the 18th. Also announced last week, Republican incumbent Frank Hermance prevailed over his Democratic challenger, Michael Jaeger, in the Lexington Highway Superintendent race. The Board of Elections expects to have final numbers on all Greene County races following the Thanksgiving holiday. You can read that full story in the Greene County News. In our final story, the Mid-Hudson News Network is reporting that both Orange and Dutchess counties are vying with New Jersey for a Legoland theme park. The resort was originally supposed to be constructed in Haverstraw, Rockland County, until town officials there said they were not interested. Orange County Executive Stephen Newhouse told the paper he has been in daily communications with Legoland officials, and he is confident the county has a good shot at landing the park. He said, and I quote, "I believe we are very much in the running. It is between us and New Jersey at this point. It's going to be a really awesome thing," end quote. He said there are a number of sites within Orange County where Legoland could be built. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a partly sunny day for today with a temperature high near 43 degrees. For Tuesday night, it will be partly cloudy with a low around 26. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Wednesday, it will be sunny with a high near 46 degrees. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 32. And on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, partly sunny with a high near 53 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 42. Sunrise today was at 6:57 a.m. and the sun will set at 4:27 p.m., providing us with 9 hours and 29 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Tuesday, the 24th day of November, 2015. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Gray. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.